Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. The parables of our Lord that are found in Luke chapter 15 are some of the most moving of all that the Lord taught. There are three parables in this chapter, and of the three, only one appears elsewhere in Scripture. That is the parable of the lost sheep, which is also recorded in Matthew. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son connect with us on an emotional level as well as on an intellectual level. They all tell the same story of a loving God who cares so much for his people that when they have gone astray, he will seek them until he finds them in order to bring them back home again. The most touching of these parables is the one we call the parable of the prodigal son. This is perhaps because we can all identify with the emotions involved in this story. Those who are parents can feel the hurt as the younger son leaves home and falls into the depths of sin. They can also feel the joy when the son returns home to seek his father's forgiveness. Those who are not yet parents or have never been parents can still identify with this parable. They may have seen it played out in the life of a friend or a sibling, or they may have been like this young son themselves. We even connect with the reaction of the older brother in this parable. It's a parable that reaches us because we're human beings, and this is exactly how human beings sometimes act. In 1964, a well-known preacher named Charles Hodge held a week-long meeting for the Walnut Hills Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. His subject for that meeting was the parable of the prodigal son. He preached seven sermons on this great parable, which were later transcribed and published as a book entitled, Will God Run? Even though most of us already know the answer to this question, we're going to spend a few moments together today reflecting on this parable and reminding ourselves that God indeed will run. In Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 14, the scripture says, And he said, A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. Now the focus of the parable is the younger of the two sons. As the parable begins, the younger son committed two great sins. The first of these is that he asked his father to give him his inheritance. You see, the dividing of the estate was only to be done upon the father's death. So the younger son was showing disrespect to his father and to his older brother by asking for his share before his father died. It is clear that the younger son was selfish and self-centered. He didn't care how his request would affect his father. All he cared about was getting what he thought should rightfully be his. His second great sin was that he went away to a distant country and squandered his inheritance on what Jesus called loose living. Now this term meant then exactly what it means today. This young man engaged in all manner of immoral behavior, among which most certainly would have been drunkenness and sexual immorality. These actions, along with everything else that constitutes loose living, were violations of the law of Moses. The squandering of his inheritance, while not a direct violation of the law, was at the very least unwise, as the young man soon learned. It is important for us to recognize that this young man came to the depths of sin by his own choice. It was his choice to be selfish and to demand his inheritance before his father died. It was his choice to live in an ungodly manner in a foreign land. And it was his choice to squander all of his inheritance. He ended up in a pig pen because of the evil choices he had made. He was impoverished because he chose to sin. Now in verses 15 through 17 of this parable, something happened that shined a glimmer of hope into this younger son's darkness. In verses 16 and 17, the Lord said that he took a job feeding pigs and would have gladly eaten the food that he was feeding to them. This was as low as a Jew could fall. Pigs were unclean animals, and there he was feeding them. Then in verse 17, the Lord said, But when he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger?" Now, the key statement is that he came to his senses. When we get tangled up in sin, it's as though we've lost our minds. We do things we shouldn't do, knowing that they are wrong, but we do them anyway. And this is what this young man had done. And when he hit rock bottom, he did what many do. He shook his head and asked, "What am I doing here?" The enormity of what he had done finally sunk in, and he realized that this was not the way that he wanted to live. Now, a lot of people in this kind of circumstance, in the depths of sin, finally realize what they have done to themselves and decide they don't like it. Coming to one's senses is essential to getting out of the pig pen of sin, but far too many are unwilling to take the next step. But fortunately for the son in the parable, he was willing to do so. In verses 18 to 21 of this parable, the Lord tells us that the young man resolved to return to his father and to seek forgiveness. We need to acknowledge that many who are caught up in sin have expressed a similar resolve to make things right in their lives. Too often, this is as far as it goes, however, and they never make it out of the quagmire. But notice what Jesus said in verses 20 to 21 of this parable. "So he got up and came to his father. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Now, the young man in this parable did not simply talk about going back home and making things right. He actually followed through with that resolve. He left his sinful life behind. He made the long journey back to his father. And notice also the difference in his demeanor. When he had asked his father for his portion of the father's estate, there was an air of arrogance in his request. When he returned from the pig pen, however, he did so humbly, penitently. He was begging, not demanding. This young man got out of the pig pen because he chose to do so. He got out of it because he acted on his resolve. He got out because he was willing to leave it behind and return to where he knew he should have been all along. The darkness of his sin was about to be removed by the light of the Father's love and mercy, but it only happened because the young man changed the course of his life. Now we come to what is arguably the most beautiful and moving part of this parable. We will read the portion of verse 20 that we omitted a moment ago, followed by verses 22 through 24. Jesus said, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate." There is great significance to the father's actions in this parable. His son was barefoot, probably dirty, and dressed in rags. In that condition, he looked like a slave, an outcast. By calling for the best robe and a ring and sandals, the father was proclaiming to all that his son was no longer a slave or an outcast. He was fully restored as a son and an heir in that household. His impoverished appearance was covered by the robe, so that it was no longer visible. It was as if he had never been gone. The most moving part of this parable is the fact that when the father saw his son coming, he ran to him and embraced him and kissed him. Jesus said the father saw him a long way off. This suggests to us that the father was in the habit of looking the direction his son had gone. We can imagine that at some point every day the father spent time searching the horizon for a glimpse of his son. Every day he hoped to see him break into view. And when he finally saw his son, he could not contain himself. He could not wait for the son to reach the house. Seeing his son returning home, he ran to meet him. Now, it's important to notice that the father did not stand looking down his nose at his son. He did not make him grovel or beg forgiveness. He actually cut off the son's prepared statement of remorse. He knew, as soon as he saw his son in the distance, that he was penitent and was coming to be restored. The very thing that he had likely prayed for every day was happening. His only response at this point was the joy of having recovered his lost son. The rest of the parable, of course, deals with the reaction of the older son, who was offended because of the celebration over his brother's return. The older brother's problem was that he didn't appreciate the fact that a soul snatched from eternal condemnation is always cause for celebration. The father in the parable patiently but firmly explained this, and we hope that the older brother got the message. The question that is the focus of our study today is the greater one. Will God run? Well, in the parable, the father represents God the Father. The things the father in the parable did are the things our Father in heaven does for us, and they are worthy of our acknowledgement. Like the father in the parable, God will allow us to depart from him in order to pursue our own selfish desires. This is not what he intends for us, certainly, but he will not hold us against our will, however foolish our will may be. Secondly, our God never ceases to desire that we return to him once we have gone astray. He stands daily, as it were, scanning the spiritual horizon, searching for our figure, coming home to him. Every day his earnest desire is that all the lost will leave sin behind and come back to where they belong. He stands ready to cover our filthy rags with the best robe, which is the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. He longs to put a ring on our hand and sandals on our feet and to celebrate our return from spiritual death. And yes, when he sees us coming, God will run to meet us and to bring us home. As we think about the impact of this story and what a wonderful story it is and how emotionally touching it is, the story of the lost son who came home and was restored, as we consider the impact of this story, we need to think about our own lives. We need to think about our relationship to God the Father, who is represented by the Father in this parable. We, like all sheep, have gone astray, the scriptures teach us. When we go astray, God yearns for us to return to him. And we need to consider how we are going to react and how we're going to respond to this desire of God that we come back to him. A person who has not been immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sins is still in the pig pen of sin. That person needs to come to his senses. He needs to get up and get out of that pig pen, to leave sin behind, to come to the Father in heaven in obedience to the gospel by confessing faith in Jesus Christ and being immersed to have their sins washed away. When we come to the Father in this manner, the angels in heaven will rejoice at our salvation because we've come back to God where we should always have been. And so also will our older brothers and sisters in Christ, who, unlike the brother in the parable, understand what it means to be lost and then found, they too will rejoice when we come to the Lord in simple obedience to the gospel. Sometimes we who are Christians do the same thing this young son did. We turn away from God and go back to the world. We also, like that young son, need to come to our senses, turn back to God, come to him in penitence, asking forgiveness, knowing from the truth of this parable that he will grant it. Friends, God is waiting to run to meet you. The question is, will you come to meet him? Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.